want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Everybody to the broadcast today. Hope everybody's having a great day. Father, I just give thanks for all men. I give thanks for all that are in authority. I thank you for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, all the judges of this land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. You said for us not to give you rest till you make Israel a praise in all the earth. I pray for all your people that you grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to be speaking on being conformed unto the death of the Lord Jesus. And as we go through this broadcast, I want to encourage every person to consider some of the things you think have been setbacks, or I'm just not overcoming, or things are not changing, or why doesn't this work? Just remember the Apostle Paul suffered the loss of all things that he might win Christ. So what Paul was going through was working for his good. Now that heater comes on. I noticed when my heater comes on, it microphone picks it up. Okay, so what Paul was going through was working for his good. Let's look at that. And as we're going to get into that, you can go ahead and turn to Philippians 3:3 if you want to follow me along in the Bible. But some of the things you are going through that you would consider to be a loss or a waste of time, or I'm just not growing spiritually. Let's look at the Word of God and see what it says about these things. Verse 3, Philippians 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust the flesh, I more. Now Paul is going to describe his confidence in the flesh. Verse 5, circumcised the 8th day, the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul was considered of the highest moral status among the people of Israel. But it was confidence in the flesh. It was confidence in his ability to be righteous. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now I'm going to show you this being conformable unto Christ's death is the death of the old man, the sin in us. Let's look at, we'll get into that later. We'll go to Romans 6 later. You know, Jesus had to die physically for our sins because he was paying for our sin. And he was paying the penalty of our sins through a physical death. But our death is a spiritual death. When we die with Christ, we don't die physically. Our old man dies. Our sin nature dies. We have to come to understanding what spiritual death is, so we can know the difference between physical death and spiritual death, then we can understand these scriptures. See, spiritual death is defined in the Bible as being dead in sins and trespass. Let's read that. I'll get to Ephesians 2 in a minute. Sin breaks the fellowship between us in God, but not the relationship. In other words, your fellowship is broken, but not you're not cut off from God. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Being spiritually alive is when we're brought out of our sins, and this is an ongoing process. Being raised up for Christ is being delivered from our old sinful nature and becoming a whole new person, a whole new righteous person. Not a self-righteous person who just acts right in their outward behavior, but you become a person with a whole new heart. Then, of course, you know, you're going to act right outwardly. Okay, let's read that about being dead spiritually. Ephesians 2:1. And you have he quickened. This word means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, see, that's spiritual death. We were dead in trespasses and sin, not physically dead. He quickened us. He made us alive. So you're dead spiritually when you're in sin, and you're alive spiritually when you're walking in God's righteousness. Verse 2. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we can see in this scripture clearly it defines spiritual death. It's walking around practicing sin. Okay? That's all it is. And so when you get that understanding, as we're going to go over some scriptures about being raised up, and you're going to see it's being raised up out of sin. Let's look at Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, of course, God sent a mediator to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want you to see is our sins separate us from God. It didn't break our relationship. Because you can see God continue to go on and deal with these people. And Isaiah, every Christian that's got the Spirit of Christ in them, they do have the desire within them to walk uprightly. But many think, well, I just do the best I can not to sin here and there. But that's it. They don't, after they walk through this, they can't seem to get things working. They just, you know, give up to the point and say, well, I'll just, you know, go to church and be the best person I can, go to heaven someday. But God wants to bring us out of our sins and have us walk in victory. And that's what we're going to get into. I'm going to go in there and start looking at the scripture. And so anyway, being raised up with Christ is being raised out of a spiritual death, being brought out of all our sins and having our sin nature taken out of us. And that's what it's talking about here in verse 10, where it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, we have to die. We have to be conformable on his death so we can attain to the resurrection of the dead. And this is being raised up with Christ, coming out of our sin. See, it's not talking about where it says dead in Christ being that we're being or being raised up. It's not talking about coming out of our graves. You know, where it talks about the dead in Christ shall rise, and they'll come out of the graves and they'll meet the Lord near. That's not what this is talking about. We're being conformable unto his death that we might attain to the resurrection. And I'm going to go on. We're going to look at this, that this is being raised out of spiritual death, coming out of all our sins. Okay, so let's go to, let's read 11 again, then we'll see it in context. If we're conformable unto his death, verse 10, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. See, this is not talking about coming out of the grave, going to meet the Lord there. This is talking about going on to perfection. See, not as though I'd already attained or were already perfect. See, because that's the resurrection of the dead, coming out of your sins. I'm going to show you some more sins to prove this. Okay, so being raised up with Christ is coming out of our sins, being made perfect. Verse 17, 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for those things which are before. So this is all in context of being conformed to his death, attaining to the resurrection, that I can be made perfect, Brethren, I count not myself to already apprehended this thing, but I'm going towards it. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, the only way, now hear these words, the only way you'll ever be made perfect like Jesus is through faith. All your efforts to live righteously will fall short. But faith in that Jesus died and you died with him. Jesus was buried, you were buried with him. Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised up with him out of all your sins. That's how you're going to be made perfect. Okay? Verse 15. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Being made conformable unto Jesus' death, so that we might attain unto the resurrection and bring us unto perfection that's coming out of all our sin. Let's read verse 9 again. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, people that just live by the Ten Commandments are self-righteous, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, we put out lying. We put out different sins, the Ten Commandments say we should do it by faith. All right? Now, while we're walking through this, being made conformable unto the death of Jesus, being raised up, with Christ ever since, we're being made the righteous of God. Not just right standing with God, but the God's very nature. Verse 10, this, I forgot which translation this was. The righteousness I have comes from knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the participation in his sufferings. It includes conformed to his death. Okay, now let's compare this with water baptism, Romans 6:3. Know ye not, so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. See, we were made conformable unto death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, it's being buried with him, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's read verse 6 in the English Standard Version. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, once again, dying with Christ is our old man being put to death, our sin nature being put to death. And, you know, we're instructed in the same chapter not to yield our members to sin, but that alone will not deliver you out of your sins. You must continue to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you died and were buried and raised up with Christ. And, you know, that's a good prayer. Pray that over and over. And I'm going to bring you some more scriptures showing we died with Jesus, we're raised up with Jesus. This is how you come out of your sin. This is how you go into perfection. This is how you become alive unto God. And it doesn't happen all at once, because we see that in Romans 6, that once the old man is dead, we're delivered from the body of death and we're no longer slaves to sin. Next chapter talks about the slavery of sin. So we have to keep believing. Now, once again, here in verse 5, being in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection is not talking about the dead in Christ being raised from the dead out of the graves and going to meet the Lord there. See, it's important that you get this, because if you don't get it, you'll read right over it and you'll say, yeah, you know, we're going to be in Jesus' likeness when he comes to get us. No, we're going to be that way here. Okay, now I know when we see him, we'll be like him. I know that. But this is talking about coming out of your sins. The likeness of his resurrection is here on the earth. Okay. Let's look at this some more. Colossians 2:11. In whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay, God is delivering us from our sins by the circumcision of Christ. Now, how do we cooperate with him? We get baptized in water. And let me say this. If you've already done that, if you've already been baptized into Christian water baptism, then start believing this teaching in Romans. Start believing what happened to you when you got baptized and that you were raised up with Christ. You don't have to go get baptized again. Start believing what happened. Okay, so Colossians 2:11. We were circumcised with circumcision made without hand, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. This is talking about overcoming our sins. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, this is dying with Christ and being raised up with Christ through the faith of the operation of God, and it's coming out of all your sins. See, that's what it's talking about. See, we're quickened or made alive with Christ in this life. And see, this will help you understand also, you have to keep putting one piece of the puzzle together at a time. When you get more established what quickened means, be made alive, that means you're with God, you're no longer in your sins, then you begin, oh, so that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about being raised out of the grave. It's talking about being raised up out of my sins. I'm telling you, you can spend the rest of your life working at not yielding to sin, practicing what is right inside of God, and that's all good. And you should do that. But you could practice loving your neighbor and have hate still in your heart. And it won't come out until you get this revelation, start to believe it. And, you know, okay, you practice loving your neighbor, but you have hate in your heart for your neighbor. And that hate will come out, or it won't come out until you put it to death. And the love of God has a hard time growing up in your heart with all that sin in you. And so what I'm saying is, you can practice love, but you still have that hate in you. It'll come out towards people at times. You'll be mean at times, and you'll constantly be falling short. And not only that, with all that sin still in you, whatever's in you, whatever degree's in you, the devil can grab a hold of you and take you over at his will. Yeah, until you're brought to repentance, you can't escape the snare of the devil, who is taking you captive at will. This is why I've watched people, compulsive sinners. They didn't get delivered from a sin yet. They'd be practicing righteousness, but the Spirit would take them over, and they just say something ugly before they even had a chance to catch the words out of their mouth. It's going to happen. So anyway, this is a good time to put a song. Let's go ahead and put He is Jehovah by Pamela Pontiff.
Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
God that healeth thee.
He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah, the Son he sent to you and testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah,
Now, I've spoken a lot about water baptism to put the old man to death, but these scriptures in Philippians 3 is talking about putting to death the old man by the suffering of the loss of all things. Okay? So putting to death the old man is much more than just being baptized in water. We have to walk down a righteous pathway, and God will deliver us on the death of the old man. Now, let me show you another area. Let me show you another place of scripture where God, as we're walking down a righteous pathway, God delivering us over unto death. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. You know, Jesus was crucified in weakness, raised in power. As we are raised up with him, we will be in the power of God with him. And we'll be joined with him in power. Okay, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And we're walking through this to put to death the old man. So if you're following the Lord and you're going through all these distresses, you're troubled on every side, you're being persecuted, and you go, what is going on? And you may have a tendency to say, where have I missed it? Well, we just read right here, these things happen to a person that is following the Lord. So get that established in your heart. Go over that. All right? That doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. See? So we need to get it established in our heart that God walks us through some of these things to put to death the old man. So we're going to have to go through some suffering walking through this. But it helps to know at least it's working for our good. You know, Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Okay? So that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong with this stuff happening to you. All right? Now look at verse 18 again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Okay, look at that. We are perplexed. What does perplexed mean? In the Greek, it means, I looked up that word in Strong's expository dictionary, it means no way out, be at a loss mentally, stand in doubt, confused. And I looked at also different translations to come up with these definitions. Now, here's what the English definition, and of course, the Greek is just taking that word, these Greek words, because the New Testament's in Greek and it's translated in English. But if you use in the concordances, and these are more accurate. But English definitions, this word perplexed means pretty much the same thing, puzzled, baffled, uncertainty. So when you're being delivered onto death of the old man through persecutions, you're being cast down, you're troubled on every side, we all have a tendency to wonder, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? But all you need to be concerned with, am I making an effort to walk in Christ? If you are, and you're letting God correct you, and you go to God when you miss it, then just know these things are written, you're not doing anything wrong, you know? And, you know, I'm not going to get it. Well, I will. I'll go over this. I'm going to go over this in a minute about how we'll go through manifest temptations if need be. So let me see if I can speak this a little clearly. When you're all perplexed, you're all going through all these things, just remember, okay, am I making effort to walk in Christ? Well, there's no condemnation. Am I making an effort to practice the word? That's walking in Christ. Then I'm walking, I'm practicing the faith, I'm under grace then, and God's not counting up my sins. If I'm, you know, it says if we walk in the faith of Abraham, we're walking in the faith, then the blessedness of God not counting our sin applies to us. Okay, so don't let the devil come in and condemn you. And see, and that's what he'll do. When you're going through these things, the devil will step in and he'll say, well, remember that sin you committed? You're reaping what you sowed. And he'll be right there condemning you. And the reason the devil's condemning you and always trying to condemn you is so your faith won't work very good, because it's through faith you overcome the sin. See, and the devil knows that. He doesn't care about you overcoming sin. He doesn't want you to overcome sin. That's why he's condemning you. And the number one ministry of the devil is he's the accuser of the brethren. Okay? And, you know, have you ever wondered why does the devil come after us? Well, first of all, he's evil. And secondly, he knows that once the body of Christ gets raised up, we're going to put him under our feet. He's going to the pit. See, once God's purposes are complete in the earth, he's going to the pit. Okay, let's look at verse 11 again. We which live are always delivered on to death for Jesus' sake. These are Christians walking with God, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, see, your faith will work as you put to death the old man. See, we die to sin, we live unto righteousness. So we having the same spirit of faith, according to as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, therefore speak. So we're being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now here comes the resurrection from the dead, being raised out of our sin. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Okay? This is talking about these people ministering here in the earth. This is not talking about being raised from the grave. Okay? You know, some people, all they know about the things of God is receive Jesus, get saved, do the best you can, and one day we go to heaven. They don't know anything about walking through all these things and overcoming. And God wants you to know this. See, you want to get prepared for the days to come. Hard days are coming. Okay. This being raised up out of our sins, and that's what this is, then the life of Jesus will manifest in our mortal body. So every person walks with God, or every person that does walk with God, will go through some sufferings to some degree or another, and, you know, take comfort. God's not going to let you go through something you can't handle. We're not tempted above what we can bear. And you're going to experience times when, as you're going through this, you grow weary in your believing. You'll want to throw up your hands, especially when you've had, you know, too many days feeling bad. That's why God doesn't, you know, God can hold back some of this stuff, and he does. He, see, this is, you know, it says fight the good fight of faith. You know why it's a good fight? Because God's in control. He lifts the hedge and only lets the spirits get at you that you can handle. You know, I was putting this together last night. There was so much oppression, so much witchcraft resisting me that I couldn't hardly think straight. Why? He didn't want me to put this together. I got up this morning. I was fine. Okay. So anyway, as you're going through these things, sometimes you'll be so perplexed, so beat down, you just don't know what to do. And you know, we'll think, well, you know, I can't leave God. So we think along these lines. Well, I'll just keep the word the best I can. And we pretty much give up any confidence of God doing anything with us. Now, turn to Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And if you read a little earlier, it's talking about how we were going through a great trial of affliction, you know, in our early days. Okay. So anyway, don't cast away your confidence. And that we have a great recompense. That word recompense is repayment, compensation. See, God's going to give us back all these blessings for the sufferings we've gone through. That's how gracious he is. Okay, verse 36, for ye have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. All right? 1 Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Notice it says, if need be, this tells us there is a purpose in going through manifold temptation. And it tells us you only go through it if you need be. Now, we all need to be for some degree or another. And so, but this also tells me we're not suffering for the hell of it. It's got a purpose. And like I said, everybody needs to be tempted some. And also, I believe this, that those that are called and God's going to do a greater work through them, and they're going to be in charge of more people. They have to handle more responsibility. They're going to have to go through more temptations than others, so they can be strong enough to handle what God has for them. Now, remember, if you don't understand what you're going through, and you feel terrible, you feel like you're dying every day. Well, we just read God is dealing with you, and you're being made conformable unto his death, and everything is going to is going according to plan. Now, so don't lose heart. I want to speak a little about last week's broadcast about the glory of God. Now, we're going to tie it in a little bit to this week's. Turn to Romans 5:2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, justification is an ongoing process. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going through this being justified in the hope of the honor of God coming to rest upon. Now, I want to encourage everyone, rejoice and expect the honor of God to come upon you as you continue the faith. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now, this word glory is an honor. This word means boast. We boast in tribulations, and this word tribulation is pressures. So when you're going through this and everything's going bad and you go, what is going on? Start boasting. Start boasting. Why? Because let me read it again. And not only so, but we glory, boast in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation, the pressure is working patience. That's why we're boasting it. It's working patience. This word patience is continuance. Okay? And it's working a patience continuance in us. Let me read through again. Not only so, but we glory, we boast in tribulation, knowing that the pressure, the tribulation works patience. Patience continues, so pressure is building an endurance in us to continue on. Verse 4, and patience brings experience. Now, why do we get experience? Because as we continue in the faith, we will be getting one victory after another. Well, what happens when we get victory? We go, oh, this works. Oh, my gosh, this works. So if you've ever had God do one thing in your life, you'll know he'll do another and another. And he'll take you from faith to faith and grace to grace and glory to glory, more and more glory on your life. Okay, gets better, folks. Stick with it. Patience, experience, and experience hope. Now, why does experience bring hope? Well, because as you're getting more and more victories, it's building a greater and greater expectation in you. Okay. Now look what happens to our heart as our faith is being perfected. We're getting a growing expectation. God's going to do something else for me. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. So we're getting our love perfected. And we're getting honored. Okay, let's go to Romans 8:30. I shared this scripture last week. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we're called, justified, then glorified. Now go back to verse 18. I didn't think about this last week, but this is what's going to happen to us as we're going through all this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, yeah. See, you're going through all these things. You're suffering. You're going through temptations. You're being delivered unto death. But the glory of God's going to be revealed in us. See, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But he doesn't live through us until we're crucified with him. That's being conformable unto his death. That's dying to sin. All our sin is put to death, purified out of us, going through the fire, through temptation. Then when Christ lives through us, we're honored. See, because then all these other things are in place. Then we're raised up out of all our sins. That's why we're honored. See how this all fits together? And then the glory of God will be seen in God's people. And we're also becoming a member of the body of Christ as we go through this. See, we're baptized into his body. Then we're glorified together. See, if we suffer together, we shall be glorified together. Okay, that's another scripture. I forgot where that is. Okay, so we just read Romans 8:18. Now go back one verse. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be we suffer with him, and we saw what that was, that we may be glorified together. Oh, that's where it was. There's another place, I think it says if we deny him, he will deny us. Well, anyway, I'll leave that alone for now. But see, we're glorified together with Christ as we die with Christ. So now we can add that to our prayer. Jesus died, we died with him. Jesus was buried, we were buried with him. Jesus was raised from the dead, We were raised up with him, and we're glorified together with him. It's getting better. So to get the promise of God, we need patience to continue in the faith. And it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. And to get patience, we have to go through tribulation, which is pressure. And then we get experience, getting the victory. Then we get hope. Then we're being transformed into the image of God. Let me check for time here. All right, 32 minutes. I think that's good. I hope this was a blessing to everybody. Put some truth in your heart. I'm telling you, as you get each one of this set in order, you're going to, it's all going to make sense. It's all going to fit together. That's what understanding does. It gets it all fit together. All right. It's already 2:30. I've got to get this all put together. And I said I was going to have it out by 3:00. So I'm rushing to get it done. So that's all I got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.